The PBS documentary series, The Vietnam War, a film by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick, is airing this week across the country. In 10 parts and over 18 hours, the film chronicles the war in Southeast Asia from its origins in colonialism to the withdrawal of American troops. The war split countries and families. Despite its lasting legacy, conversations about the war, even 50 years later, are often difficult or perhaps non-existent. Saturday afternoon, the Fayetteville Public Library and the Arkansas Educational Television Network hosted a preview screening with highlights from the film, followed by a moderated panel discussion. Members of the panel included Colonel Karen Lloyd, the director of the Veterans History Project at the Library of Congress, Jim Hale, a Northwest Arkansas resident who served at an Air Force forward control post in the war, Roy Reed, University of Arkansas Professor of Journalism Emeritus and former reporter for the New York Times and the Arkansas Gazette, and Preston Jones, who has taught history at John Brown University since 2003 and has interviewed more than 100 veterans of every American conflict since the Second World War and has published a book on the spiritual lives of soldiers in combat. I served as moderator of the panel. The discussion began just minutes after the preview screening had finished, a screening preceded by assurances that counselors from the VA were in the room in case anybody watching the film needed assistance. And I asked Jim Hale, a Vietnam War veteran, about watching that hour-long preview.
I'm going to work my way through it one by one starting tomorrow night and just take it all in. I volunteered. I fully believed in our war. And it was quite an experience. And I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm hoping that this series is going to help a lot of us.
Colonel Karen Lloyd is responsible for directing the activities to ensure the Library of Congress collects, preserves, and makes accessible personal accounts of American war veterans. She says that mission is important, but there is added significance of collecting the accounts as time passes.
I think there's a huge responsibility for us to reach out to all veterans. My husband was in Vietnam as a helicopter pilot twice, and he was a part of Lam Sam 719 going into Laos. He would not talk about his story. I'm particularly pleased about this, that Ken Burns has made the effort to talk about Vietnam, because for me it's going to be a real education. My father was in service, and I was in Europe from 64 to 69. And just from this little excerpt that we've seen here today, I'm seeing a part of American history that I never saw because of the AFN censorship that existed in Europe at the time. So from my perspective, there's a couple of reasons why I think it's so incredible that we get all those stories, and some of them for me are extremely personal.
Very early in the first part of the Vietnam War documentary, the reluctance to discuss the war is compared to the experience of having an alcoholic father, a subject that many people would just rather not broach. Roy Reed, who was in the Washington, D.C. Bureau of the New York Times in 1967 and 68, says he thinks one reason the conversations were, and are, difficult to have is the tenor of the country during the war.
You know, you couldn't talk to any friends. You couldn't go a day without being reminded of what was going on the other side of the world and what it was doing to our country. I don't think I'll ever get over it.
Preston Jones, history professor at John Brown University in Siloam Springs, says he does what he can to start conversations with Vietnam War veterans, if they're interested, and help share those stories with others. He says many of these discussions start randomly, such as the time he saw a man wearing a hat, indicating he was a veteran, at a local fast food restaurant.
And there was a fellow who came in to Arby's with his Vietnam veteran hat on, and my wife can verify that's how I get a lot of my connections. This veteran has his hat on as well. And so at Walmart or wherever I am, if they have their hats on, I usually find a way to corner them and try to rope them into a conversation. And I'm not a very good listener in general, but I am a good listener when it comes to combat veterans and their stories, and I like hearing from them.
Yeah. Are they generally ready to speak?
It depends, and what I've found is when they find out, first of all, there's some suspicion often because I'm a professor, proud of discovering. But once they find out that I'm genuinely interested and that that's my angle, I'm interested in their story. I don't have any particular agenda other than hearing their story. And I'd like to get their stories in front of students, and so I often put on events where they will come and we'll have public discussions, sometimes with 10 students, sometimes with 200.
In February, Preston Jones and John Brown University will hold a public event commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Tet Offensive, and it will include local veterans of that event. Jim Hale, who served during the Vietnam War and says he sought and received counseling and help from the VA for PTSD brought on by the country's involvement in wars in the Persian Gulf, is now writing a memoir titled Casualty of Peace. He also helps direct a project called Soldier Songs and Voices Northwest Arkansas to help other veterans share their stories.
We meet veterans who have played music in the past, and so we give them a way to get back into it, you know, meeting with us here in the community. And so we'll take them if they have no experience, and we'll teach them chords. And if they stick with it, we'll furnish them with a guitar. That's how it works.
I'm curious, you're writing your memoir, Casualty of Peace. Was that a difficult decision to actually decide to write it?
People have told me throughout my life I needed to write a book. And I finally got to the point where I was able to do it. I've been in treatment for 5 or 6 years for PTSD, and all the therapists tell you to journal your recovery. And so that kind of led to it. I also want to put in a plug for a group that has no name that meets at the Good Shepherd Church Saturdays at 2:00. It's a writers group led by Velda Brotherton. And we go there and we bring in what we've written, and that there are people there that listen to it and they'll offer critique. So that has carried me a long way. The Fayetteville community has just been amazing, how they want to reach out to veterans. And there's more and more all the time for us. So I'm taking advantage of it. Writing the book, I've just taken it from the beginning, and I'm about halfway through now with 22,000 words. And everything is in there, everything that I did, all my reactions, all my feelings. So it's really crystallizing it all for me right now. And this is a good time with all the new treatments that are coming on, better staff at the VA. So this is a really good time for veterans for this series to come out and get these conversations started.
All four of the panelists say they're pleased the 10 Years in the Making documentary series is airing and receiving attention. Preston Jones from John Brown University says he thinks the national awareness might help bridge some gaps.
I experienced something not long ago in Washington, D.C. I was spending a lot of time at the Vietnam Wall and just talking to veterans and helping them find names and etch the names, et cetera, and hearing their stories. But when I was in D.C., I also went to a lecture that a professor gave. And it was not about Vietnam, but it was about protesting during the First World War. But he had been a protester during the Vietnam War. And he said something that I had never really heard. I mean, I'd heard it sort of in the abstract, but I'd never heard it with my own ears from a person speaking. He said that when he protested, he wanted our side to lose. And one experience I had was at that moment, I felt like, you know, I am a veteran, but not of the Vietnam War, but I felt like, you know, the anger of 200 combat veterans was sort of channeling through me at that moment. And I asked the professor in question time, I said, you know, veterans sometimes say that they had enemies in Vietnam, but they also felt like they had enemies at home as well. And it sounds like you're confirming that. And he said, yes. And the sense that I had, first of all, for myself, was that the work I need to do to try to understand that perspective, because that's a perspective that I don't understand right now. But at least I want to try to understand it. But also, I have a sense that the veterans at the wall that I spoke to know about his point of view. But I'm not sure that professor himself had ever sat down with Vietnam veterans to try to understand their point of view. And I'm hoping that this documentary can help that.
At the conclusion of the 40-plus minute discussion, I asked each of the panelists if they thought there were any lessons we may have learned from the war and its aftermath. Colonel Karen Lloyd from the Library of Congress answered first.
I think what's really critical has been that the junior officers that were in Vietnam are the senior officers when the war started in Southwest Asia. And they understood what it was like to come back from Vietnam and how we did it wrong. And I think that they have been the energy behind getting it right this time. And that's what I would like to suggest.
Our national priorities need to be reexamined. What is important? What kind of conflict do we really want to get into? And how important it is to our country. I learned in my youth, you never swing first in a fight. The other person has to really swing first. So I don't always see that.
I would say amen to what Jim just said about being careful about getting into foreign entanglements. Was that Washington's phrase? And one thing that we need to be especially careful about is letting our ideologies guide us in deciding what foreign affairs we need to meddle in.
Preston, any thoughts?
I mean, there are a few things that I bring up in my classes. I mean, one is, you know, this continual tension, perhaps we see it now thinking about North Korea or other possible conflicts. You know, the Munich metaphor on the one where you have to stand up and no appeasement, which I think was very much part of President Kennedy and President Johnson's thinking. But then there's the other metaphor of the quagmire, the unwinnable war. And I think these two metaphors are at odds with each other, and I imagine in different ways they're coming up. You know, they come up in the White House to this day. Something else, you just listen to those tapes of President Johnson and you just have to feel for him, the tremendous burden of the presidency. That's something I talk about in my classes. But I think the most, you know, the most direct thing that we see in the streets is the recognition that even if we're opposed to a war, we honor the combatant. And I think that that's very important.
Preston Jones, history professor at John Brown University. We also heard from Roy Reed, University of Arkansas professor of journalism emeritus and former reporter for the New York Times and Arkansas Gazette, Jim Hale, organizer of Soldiers' Songs and Voices Northwest Arkansas and a Vietnam War veteran, and Colonel Karen Lloyd. They all made their comments Saturday afternoon during a discussion at the Fayetteville Public Library, co-organized by AETN. Our conversation followed a preview screening of highlights from the 18-hour documentary series, The Vietnam War, by Ken Burns and Lynn Novick. Those episodes are airing this week and into next on PBS and AETN. This is Ozarks at Large.